Mark chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, will you turn to that, please? Mark chapter 9. George Barna, who is a kind of a marketing guru for Christians, taking his marketing telescope, he looked into the future. And as we come to the end of this century, he reminds those who have read his book, Frog in a Kettle, that what is important as we come to the end of the century, as we move into the 21st century, what will be vital will be for Christians to have a sense of community, for Christians to have a sense of belonging to one another. We are being threatened from without with all the technological things that can interfere with the sense of wanting to be with God's people. I mentioned some time ago, and people thought I was joking, but it is true, that in New York they have drive-in funeral homes. You can just drive through, see the casket, and go on your way. And as they have that kind of a banking as well, that you can just drive through without interfering or seeing people at all. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ is based upon fellowship, upon communion, upon community, and without that, the church dies, as we know that even our Lord himself shared with his disciples. I want you to take Mark chapter 9 and look briefly with me to what we have here, that which will help us to move into the 21st century with a sense of community, with a sense of belonging, with a sense of fellowship among the people who attend this congregation. First of all, I want you to understand from verse 2, as we read that, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. By themselves. Jesus took Peter and James and John and led them. If you and I are to know a community, a fellowship, if you and I are to know the sense of belonging, we have to have a common commander. Look at what Jesus did. He took Peter and James and John. He took them. He set the agenda. He gave the orders. He led the way. They were following him. He knew where he wanted to go. They only knew as they followed him. And if the people of God are to enjoy anything at all of this sense of fellowship, we must all come under the authority of Jesus. He took them. His authority is essential for the sense of oneness in the body of Jesus Christ. Secondly, his affinity with them. He took them by themselves, and themselves include the Lord Jesus. Luke 9 tells us that one of the reasons for going there was that he was going to enjoy a time of spiritual fellowship with his Father and with them. He went to pray. Jesus Christ himself is the authority who died for our sins. Jesus Christ is the authority who brings us together to enjoy fellowship with God and with one another. He went there to pray. The disciples, Christ, all under one umbrella, as it were, looking unto God the Father, and as such, they were one. They were a chosen people, if you please, under the authority of Christ, sharing a closeness with him. This is what the people of God will have to do as we move into the 21st century. We'll have to have a sense of community based upon a common commander, one that has the authority over our lives, and one who, with whom we share his affinity. They were with him. Yesterday, I was in a place called Grassy. Now, I tell you, I looked on a map, and I couldn't find it. And I drove to Grassy. I took the direction that was given to me, although I had never been there before. And I followed precisely what was said to me to get to Grassy. And I made it. And when I got there, the person who had invited me to spend the day speaking to them met me. And there was a sense of celebration because I followed the direction given. And I had someone there who was going to meet me with whom I was acquainted. When we come to the table, my friends, we have been given the direction. And we have someone who meets us at the table, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is the commander who brings us together, when he's the one with whom we share this intimacy, something happens that actually generates a sense of fellowship and oneness among the people of God. I will not go further into that. There is a corporate consciousness. A corporate consciousness. We'll get to this one of these days when we get to Mark 9 from our studies. But there's something very interesting I find with this. That in that corporate consciousness, there is a sense of a sacred experience. While Jesus shared in his closeness with his disciples, he was transfigured before them. What a sacred moment that must have been. What a wonderful privilege to be in the presence of Christ that is actually transfigured in our presence. We go from the emblems to, by faith, to the sense of who he is. He doesn't change that into his body. He doesn't change that into his blood. But there's a sense in which he uses these things to translate our experience into an experience of a heavenly delight with himself where he is this moment. He shares with us himself, just as God shared in the holy mountain with them the glories of our Lord. It was a sacred experience. And so it is at the table, dear friends. It is a sacred experience. This is not a common table. This table, as Pastor Blaine said, does not belong to this church, to this pastor, to this denomination, or to any denomination. This table belongs to the Lord. And when we come here, we come to share a unique experience of oneness through him who actually loved us and gave himself for us. A sacred experience, that is what worship is all about. But then I want you to see, secondly, it was a shared experience. So this is where I want to get this morning very quickly. It was a shared experience. I looked at this again and again this week as I'm trying to figure out what was happening to Peter's life. And in verse 5 of chapter 9 of Mark, Peter responded by saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good." Friends, as we have come to the table this morning, as we have entered into his presence with joy, with praise, as we have come as those who are under one commander, could I ask this question? Is there someone this morning in this place of whom you cannot say it is good for us to be here with him or with her? Is there someone in here with whom we wish they weren't here? When we come to the table, when we come to worship, when there is this sacred experience, there is a sense of the consciousness of the other. There's an appreciation for the other. There is a joy in the presence of the other because what is being experienced is something that God himself is doing for us. So that we should examine our hearts even now. Is there someone here with whom I cannot say, someone beside me, someone in front of me, someone behind me, I can't say, Lord, it is good for me to be here with this person. This morning as we were coming, there was the regular Sunday morning joy. You know, it's getting late. Hurry up. Father gets by the door and puts his jacket on because wants wife to see, he's ready. I want to share with you, dear friends, that one of the most wonderful things this morning in my own heart as we're getting ready was the sense that I had the privilege of preparing my family to go to experience a shared experience. So there was no anxiety, no shouting, no standing at the door with a jacket. I'm not boasting, friends. I'm telling you that I want to discipline myself so that when we come into the house of God, I would have done nothing at home that I cannot experience the joy of the Lord in the house of the Lord. A shared experience. Now, you can tell that our time has not slipped away. I don't want to use that term. But in this shared experience, I want to read something for you, and I'm going to ask the organist and the pianist to get in their places. Because when we come together, says Ted Smith, in that beautiful song he wrote, number 140, will you check your hymn books? There's a quiet understanding when we're gathered in the Spirit. It's a promise that he gives us when we're gathered in his name. There's a love we feel in Jesus. There's a manner that He feeds us. It's a promise that He gives us when we're gathered in His name. Peter was conscious of the most wonderful experience. But my friends, the experience of worship is never simply individual. The experience of worship is a shared experience. It is meant for us to be conscious of those who are experiencing with us. It is designed by God that the people of God from different backgrounds, from different colors, whatever it might be, when we come together, we are lost in wonder, love, and praise, and we do not see people by distinctions when we come into His presence to worship. I am conscious of you. You are conscious of me. And I say to God, it is good for me to be where? Wherever, whoever. I can call your name. I can go over the congregation and I can say, Lord, this morning it is good for me to be here with that person, that person, that person, that person. Now can you, my friends, say, as we stand to sing, there's a quiet understanding, Lord, it is good for me to be here with my husband. It is good for me to be here with my wife. It is good for me to be here with my children. It is good for me to be here with my brothers. It is good for me to be here with my sisters. Because I have experienced a sacred experience, I want it to be a shared experience. Please stand as we sing. There's a quiet understanding.